Because the book of Romans starts out with what? Obedience to the faith. Very clearly, your Bible says it, my Bible says it. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 16, and Romans chapter 16 and verse 26. So it starts out in the first chapter, obedience to the faith, and it ends the book with obedience to the faith. And Romans chapter 16 and verse 26, we have recorded for us there, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Listen, for what? Obedience to the faith. So we start out the book, obedience to the faith. We end the book, obedience to the faith. And so for a short time this morning, we're going to study in God's word how important it is to be obedient to the faith. I'm glad you're here this morning. Hope you take notes. Go examine these things to be so. If you see they are so, I would hope they would be application in your life as I need to make in my life. So when we talk about the phrase obedience to the faith, the first thing we're going to have to define is the source of acceptable faith. Notice it doesn't say obedience to the faith of your choice. It doesn't say obedience to the faiths, plural. It says obedience to the faith. That's what your Bible says, isn't it? That's what my Bible says. So we need to step to begin with the source of this faith being spoken of. So as we do that, let's go to some passages. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. There we have recorded, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now what we're doing in this first part is defining obedience of the faith or the source of that faith that we're talking about. Here it states in that very last section of that verse, that is the word of faith which we preach to you. Staying in Romans chapter 10, go down a few more verses. Go down to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So okay, so then faith comes by what? By hearing. By hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Not hearing what some preacher said to you, but hearing what the book, chapter, and verse says to you, correct? Do we see that? So if we're talking about obedience to the faith, would that source of faith, if we take these two verses, be the word of God? So I'm to be obedient to the word of God. Now let's go to a few more passages as we define this. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 1. So obedience to the faith is the standard of faith that has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit in the scriptures that we are studying this morning. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23, as it talks about there, talking about Paul and his previous life to his present life as a Christian, and it states, but they were hearing only what he formerly persecuted us. Now, listen, what was Paul doing? Now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Remember, before he became known as Paul, he was known as Saul. And known as Saul, he was going around trying to destroy Christianity. And of course, Acts chapter 9, the Lord speaks to him. Ananias comes to him. He's baptized. He puts on Christ. But notice what it states in verse 23. And verse 23, preaches the faith. We're talking about a standard of faith. So where is that standard of faith? Well, it's in the word of God. So when we started out with Romans 1:16 and Romans 16:26, talking about obedience to the faith is talking about what this book has to say. So my obedience needs to be in harmony with what the gospel teaches. All right, let's go to another illustration. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. In Acts chapter 6, we have recorded for us here, it says here, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples were multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were, what? Obedient, what? Obedient to the faith. Okay, what was spreading? Go back to the beginning of the verse. The word of God. Okay, so where's the obedience of faith? It's in the word of God. But it's not just something you listen to. It is something you put into application. Does that make sense? Are we defining this definition based upon book, chapter, and verse? So when it talks obedience to the faith, it's talking about obedience to what this book has to say, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, one more passage before we move on as we talk about this topic. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 through 25. We've studied this when we studied the book of Peter, but let's go back there again. There we have recorded, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I want to stop there. Remember, we know the truth is what? The word of God. John 17, verse 17. A beauty part is when the Bible defines itself, no matter what man says, the Bible's right. So when it says you obeyed the truth, you're talking about the word of God. It goes on to state, in the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Look at verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through what? Through the word of God. Why? What's in the word of God? The faith, the standard of faith that God wants us to obey, right? So it goes back, priests were obedient to the faith. Preach obedience to the faith. And then we go on to state, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Here's problem number one. When people look at the word faith, they look at their personal faith. And their personal faith perhaps is different than the standard of faith. We've got to be careful there, do we not? We need to have an obedience to the faith, the standard of faith. In other words, my personal faith needs to be in harmony with the standard of faith. And that's where a lot of people miss the boat. They'll say, I have faith. Okay, my question to you, where did your faith come from? Did it come from your feelings? Did it come from tradition? Did it come from doctrinal error? Or did it come from the standard of truth? Obedience to the faith is the standard of faith, which is God's word. And we could spend the rest of the day on that, but I think that should suffice at this point, that when we're talking about obedience to the faith, we're talking about the word of God. My life needs to be in harmony with the word of God. Now, let's go to the second point of our lesson, big old warning sign, because we could start out being obedient to the faith, God's word. However, we could become careless and our faith will falter. Now, again, all of these could be lessons by themselves, but this is just kind of a thumbnail view of this obedience to the faith. So, okay, the obedience to the faith means obedience to the standard of God. That's where the faith is. However, we're going to take four examples in the book of Timothy where they were warned concerning the faith. Let's go to the first one. And that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there, and verses 18 through 20. We have recorded for us there, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Okay, did you catch that in verse 19? He tells Timothy, having faith and a good conscience, okay, he's talking positive. Look at the contrast. Which some have rejected. What did they reject? They rejected the standard of faith. Rejected concerning the faith. That's what they rejected. And they suffered shipwreck. And then they named two names, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I delivered to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. Okay, let's think about this. So, can I have obedience to the faith, being baptized and serving God, and could that change? Yes. According to this passage, it can change because I start rejecting the faith. Now, this idea of being delivered to Satan, I'm not going to go into detail on that, but if you tie that together with 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5, I believe these men are publicly exposed that they have gone astray. They have gone astray. And God, he wants them to come back. But the point I'm trying to make is be careful that you don't reject what? Obedience to the faith. That you don't change what God's word has to say. Can I do that? Sure I can. If I do, it's of no good to me. But here the warning is. Again, let's go to another example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, as we talk about obedience to the faith, look at what it tells us. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some would what? Depart from the faith. That's the standard of faith. That's the source of faith. So if you're departing from something, what does that tell me? You had it. You had it, but you departed from it. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That's scary. So here they had something, and now they departed from it. How do they depart from it? Giving heed to deceiving spirits. We're going to talk about the third point that's going to be the solution to that. But the obedience of faith means obedience to God's word. But now be careful, because if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, could I be deceived? And in being deceived, could I be deceived to the point where my conscience is seared? And the answer is yes. So he's warning Timothy for them at that time. He's warning us. We started out, here's obedience to the faith. But here's the things you have to be careful of. Okay, let's go to the third one. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to take verses 9 and 10. It states, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of, and I like the New King James, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have what? Did you see there? Look at it. Look at your Bible. What have they done? They've strayed from the faith. Why did they stray from the faith? In their own greediness. The physical riches of this world became more than the standard of faith. Is that what it's talking about? And by the way, when they strayed from the faith, what happens to them? They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. All three of these illustrations are addressing those who had been obedient to the faith, are addressing those who were God's children and how they've gone astray. We've got to be careful about this. Obedience of faith means being in harmony with God's law, but if we're not careful, we can go off course and sometimes not even realize we're going off course. Timothy is warned this. Timothy was a dedicated gospel preacher. He's warned that this can happen and that this will happen. And we've got to be careful of that. Now, one more case before we go to the last point. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Listen what it says here. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more and more ungodliness. I'm working on a lesson, a singular lesson on the book of Revelation. And it's got the figurative language throughout the book. And the problem with that is this, is some religious people think they're so smart. They think they're so smart that they can explain every detail of all those figures. So you're going to get yourself in trouble, my friend. I'll just say figurative. This figurative language sends forth a purpose. And sometimes people read too much into it. The big picture is this: God wins. And we're going to see that when we do our study in the book of Revelation. God wins. Trouble is, people are overthrown because of following false ideas. It worries me today when people say, go buy this book because it's talking about the end of time. Nobody, listen to me, Matthew 24 clearly teaches, nobody knows the end of time. Well, what about the signs? Nobody knows the signs of the end of time. Jesus is going to come how? As a thief in the night. Now, do you want to believe God's word? Or do you want to believe these people who are clinging to these various events that are happening? Oh, and by the way, this is not new to 2023. Now, I wasn't alive then, but do you think they did that during World War II? Do you think they did that during the Korean War? Do you think they did that with the Cuba crisis? I can point out over and over again where people will get these events that are horrible events and start predicting things they have no right to predict. Obedience to the faith. You say, well, what's the problem? The problem, my friend, is you could be led astray. That's the problem. The problem is, my friend, you fail to understand you're a part of a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. The problem is, my friend, those very same people will teach that the kingdom hasn't come yet. It's going to come after the rapture, which is totally foreign to the Word of God. That, my friend, is the problem. Obedience to the faith. Let's read. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about, and it says, verse 16, and shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase more ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Now, who have strayed concerning the faith. Now, he talks about the example here, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Not everybody, but they overthrow the faith of some. Now, my question to you, my question to me, do you want to make sure your faith's not overthrown? Do you want to make sure that riches don't allow you to depart from the faith? Do you want to make sure that false teachers don't lead you astray? Because you know what? If you follow and go astray, you get the same destination, condemnation. Do you want to make sure that doesn't happen? Well, that brings us to the most important point of the lesson. And that is, we have to have obedience of faith. And how do we do that? We have to grow. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians, by the way, when I first started preaching, I used to ask people, what do you want to study? I don't ask people that anymore. Because over 70% of the time, people who have got very little knowledge of the Bible, guess what book they want to study? Revelation. Now, I believe we can study and understand the principles of Revelation. But I believe you got to get a background before that. I believe you got to get the basics before that. I believe you got to have some understanding of the Old Testament before that. And the reason I laugh about that, because before I became a child of God, when Bob Archer came to study with us, he asked my wife and I, what do you want to study? What do you think I said? Revelation. You know why I said that? I had just finished reading Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth, which has numerous errors in it. But I'm just saying, we've got to be founded on the truth. It's like a child who is learning math, that the very first math topic they want to study is algebra. That's a problem, isn't it? You better, now, can someone understand algebra? Sure they can. But you have to have some basics before that. And the same thing is true in the scriptures. We've got to get the foundation of the obedience of faith before we go off into a tangent, whether it be misusing Daniel, whether it be misusing Isaiah, whether it be misusing Revelation, and we pick specific things in the signs and symbols. You know, when I was first starting preaching, 666, we're familiar with that number, right? That's in Revelation. You know what the big focus of 666 was when I first started preaching? It has to be Henry Kissinger. What? That's what they came up with, a lot of people. Maybe it's just no person in particular, but evil personified. You ever think that? And can evil be personified from generation to generation? So again, you see what happens when we start going to little things? Oh, and by the way, before Kissinger, some thought it was Hitler. And they go on. So again, what I'm trying to say is, okay, here's the faith. And we're to have obedience to the faith. But the first thing we have to do is to grow in the faith. In the book of 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Now, your faith does not grow exceedingly when you go to a religious bookstore and pick up a book that appeases you. Your faith will grow exceedingly based upon the standard of faith. Let this be your first study guide. I'm not saying you can't buy other people's books, but so many people, am I not correct? So many people run to a bookstore and run to a book written by a man as to what their decision is. And therefore they take that, it must be right because it's in this book. It must be right because they've used these passages. And I can show you books where I've got passages blotted out everywhere on the side. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. I get a few golden nuggets, but I got a lot of that's wrong in that. But for me to know that that's wrong, I've got to know what? I've got to know the standard of faith. This is the first book we need to go to. This is the book that has the authority. This is the book that does not contradict itself. Be careful, brother. You're going to have a lot of friends and neighbors telling you a lot of hairy ideas of what's happening. Go back to the standard of faith. Again, as we talk about that growing faith, let's look at some passages. And Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. What's he praying for them? To ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let me ask you, where do you get the knowledge of his will? In the standard of faith, right? That's where you get the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. I don't have to be concerned with what Joel Osteen says. I don't have to be concerned what other prominent religious writers say. I have to be concerned as to what this word says. To grow in the will of God. I don't need them to explain to me. I need to take God's word and let God's word explain itself to me. Just like we talked obedience to the faith. Where's the faith? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the end of the matter. Obedience to the word of God. All right, let's go on to another passage. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And by the way, I'm not saying any of you will be deceived, but we got to be aware of this, brethren. We've got to be aware so that we don't depart from God's standard of faith. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with what? Persuasive words. It goes on to state, for though I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith, where? In Christ. Does your Bible say that? The steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Not in some religious book that you picked up and that's what they tell you to believe. You picked up the book and learned what it tells you to believe. Right? As we go on, as we talk about this in Colossians chapter 2, he goes on to state, as you have received Christ, notice, as you have received Christ, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in what? The faith. Whose faith? The faith that comes from the Word of God. You're established in the faith. And you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Look at, beware. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Who's he writing to here? He's writing to Christians, is he not? What's he telling there? Beware. Because you can be deceived through philosophies and empty deceit. I look at some of the literature of my religious neighbors, and I see them put this chart up, and they got passage here, passage there, passage here, passage there. But they don't connect biblically. They just make for a good story, the story they want to teach. The trouble is, it's a story people want to hear. No. No. Give you a quick update on the rapture. That's not talking about a future hiding of the Christians and bringing them back down. Because once we go up, people, we'll never come back down. Understand that. Because you know what the rapture has? Come back down for the kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. No, the kingdom's on the earth right now. We're a part of that kingdom right now. And when the end comes and that call sends forth, we'll be caught up in the air to forever be with the Lord. You cannot find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where they come to the ground. It's not there. Your Bible does not have that. We're caught up in the air to ever be with the Lord because the kingdom is returned back to God. But I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people are going to be deceived in the upcoming months, weeks, and possibly year. Because there are going to be a whole lot of people teaching things that are not in the Scriptures. I feel bad for them. Because I'm in a part of a kingdom that can never be to move, can never be moved. I'm a part of that kingdom this very day. I'm a part of that kingdom which is going to go home to the Father. Now, does that take away from the sorrow that's going on overseas? No. But let me ask you this. When hasn't there been a time of sorrow? If it's not Israel and the Middle East, what about all the terrible things that happen in Africa? What about all the terrible things happening? When isn't there a time of sorrow on this earth? But I'm a part of the kingdom that can never be destroyed. Because we have a standard of faith to follow. Does it make a difference? Absolutely. Because I can walk around with my head held up high. My God has won. My Lord is on the throne. And though I don't understand a whole lot of things that are going on, I don't understand why kids get up and start shooting one another or shooting into crowds. I don't understand that. But thank goodness this is not my home. This is just a temporary residence. Obedience to the faith. As we go on, not only can we are able to distinguish air, we're able to stand against the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5. We spent a lot of time on that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. You might say, well, where'd Chuck get that lesson? Watching too much TV. Watching too many advertisements that are teaching a lot of nonsense. And observing how people are so gullible to grasp to something because they want the answer. May I suggest to you that there's a lot of evil that goes on you're not going to know the answer to. Is that possible? There's a lot of evil that goes on I don't know the answer to. But this one thing I know, I can be obedient to the faith. This one thing I know, I can win. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast, where? In the faith. What faith? The standard of faith. The faith we're reading right today. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's not woe is to me, look how bad we have it. How bad did they have it in the first century? They have it bad in the first century? Have it bad in the second century? Do we have it bad today? Yeah. And if God allows a few more centuries or 10 more centuries or 50 more centuries, they're going to have it bad there too? Yeah. But I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We're obedient to the faith. The devil is not after the world. He's got the world. The devil is after you and I. He wants to put a monkey wrench in our lives. He wants to put a distraction in our lives. He wants to get us to question with what he said, is it true? But it is. And we win. We win. Well, I'm not happy what's going on in the world. But I'll tell you what, I'm happy I can be obedient to the faith and have the blood of Christ cover me. I'm happy I can be a part of a spiritual family. And I'm happy I don't have to know what everything is going on, that I don't understand it, but I understand this. Christ gives me victory. Obedience to the faith. As we go on, we need to stand for the truth. Turn with me, if you will, to Jude verse 3. We can't be mamby-pambies when it comes to the truth. We need to take a stand. Well, if that's what you want to believe, that's okay. No, that's not okay, my friend. There is a standard of faith. The standard of faith is the Word of God. We've already established that. So it does matter what you believe. It does matter what I believe. In Jude, in verse 3, it tells us here, Beloved, when I was very diligent to write to you concerning of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We're like a prize fighter. We're contending for what God's word has to say. You mean you don't believe in this rapture theory? No. Listen to me. That is false. That's false. Not in my opinion. I didn't say in my opinion that's false. No, book, chapter, and verse, that is false. Choose the faith of your choice. No, no, no. That is false. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Ephesians 4, how many faiths? There is how many faiths? One faith. Where does that faith come from? The Word of God. We're told to contend for the faith. How many? One faith. It's not the Church of Christ faith. It's the faith that comes from the Word of God. Well, Chuck, if you say that, you're going to offend a lot of people. I don't want to offend people. But do we believe what God's Word has to say? And if we do, are we willing to stand for it? Oh, well, you don't have the right attitude. No, no, don't question my attitude. You're not God. Do you stand up for the faith? You hear people say, I believe those are of all faith saved. What do you think, Chuck? Well, that's a lot of people believe that, but you know what? That's not what the Scriptures teach. Oh, so you think you're the only ones that are right? No, only the ones who follow the standard of faith are right. Would you agree with that? And if you're not following the standard of faith, are you wrong? You see, we don't want to do that. You know why? Because we don't want to have conflict. I don't like conflict. But sometime we have to stand toe-to-toe with the devil and his teachings and let people know what's right and what's wrong. And we'll talk more about that tonight. Able to stand for the truth. We need to be working together on this faith for the common goal. You know, it's easy to talk about it. Now we've got to do it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1. Someone said, well, Chuck, if we do what you're showing us today, we're not going to reach anyone. Who gives the increase? Who gives the increase? God does. What are we to do? We're to share what God's word has to say. We don't want just want size. We want increase of people who want to do what's biblically right. There's a big difference there. If I was just out preaching for increase in size, honestly, I'd leave the Lord's church. If I just wanted for increase in size, I'd leave the Lord's church and pick select passages that people like to hear and start my own church. And I believe I could get the size and we'd all go to hell. We'd all go to hell. But I could get the size. We want increase of people who want to serve the Lord, who want to follow the standard of faith. And you and I have no right at any time to compromise that standard. We have in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 this statement, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. Because that's obedience to the faith. Why did our brethren have problems in the first century? Because they stood for the truth. They didn't compromise. And by standing for the truth caused them a great deal of problems. Some of them, they lost all their goods, Hebrews chapter 10. But they stood for the truth. Brethren, do we have the truth? Right here. We have to have like-mindedness to stand for that truth. I'm grateful I can be a part of the Lord's church. We taught that last week. But we got to have obedience to the faith. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, or chapter 4 and verse 2, Timothy is told to do what? Preach the word. You know why he's to preach the word? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what? It's the power of God's salvation. What's God's power? The gospel. Preach the word. I hate to say it, but it's true. A lot of people don't want to hear the pure word of God. They want to hear an adulterated version of the word of God. That's not preaching the word. I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. And we need to be like Paul. As we come to a close, again, we talked about obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith is to be in harmony with this book. Make sure your life is in harmony with the teachings here, as I will in my life. But as we close, let's look at two passages. Paul kept the faith. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. By the way, while you're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me ask you this. Was it easy for Paul to keep the faith? Was it just a bowl of cherries for him to keep the faith, or did it take a lot of effort on his part? It took a lot of effort, did it not? But he kept the faith. But I know you get tired of hearing this, but I'm old, so I'm going to just share it again. The thing I remind myself every morning I get up, I remind myself this one statement, finish strong. Finish strong. I'm getting closer to the end of my race. I need to finish strong. Now's not the time to slow down. Now's not the time to give up. Now's not the time to sit back. Now's not the time to take it easy. Finish strong. That should be the goal of all of us. We find for us here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have what? Kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who loved his appearing. The question for us, are we doing the same thing? Are we keeping the faith? Remember 2 Corinthians 13:5? Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. The faith here, this faith. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Indeed, unless indeed you are disqualified. Boy, that'd be the worst thing. Could you imagine standing on the day of judgment and the Lord looks at you and says, depart from me? Wouldn't that be the most horrible thing that could ever happen to you? Now, he doesn't have to say that. The whole focus on that is you and I. He'll say, enter in if we're obedient to the faith. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we've not gone over the plan of salvation, but I want to do that again one more quick time. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We understand that. But we don't come into contact with the blood of Christ until we repent and are baptized for remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, Romans chapter 6. We can study all those passages. So if you happen to be here this morning and you've been deceived thinking that you were saved when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, but I've been baptized, that's not New Testament baptism. New Testament baptism, you recognize you're lost until you're baptized. That until you're into that watery grave of baptism, you don't have the blood of Christ. It's interesting. Both my wife and myself were baptized in different denominations. And both of those baptisms were not in harmony with the New Testament baptism. So someone said, well, you were baptized again. Well, technically, yes, we were baptized again. But biblically, no. Because biblically, we had never been baptized right. We were baptized, but not baptized right. And when we learned the truth, then we were baptized for the remission of our sins, as they were on the day of Pentecost. If you're here this morning and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, I want you to go home and study that. And if you don't know, understand that, have me or someone else study with you, because that's an important thing. To the rest of us, doesn't stop at baptism. Obedience to the faith. Let's not take that lightly. Let's stay true to Christ and his teaching. Not stay true to a religious group that meets in Florida. Stay true to Christ and his teachings. Understand that. How wonderful it is that I don't have to depend on no man. I've got this pattern right here. And it's going to give me peace now and heaven hereafter. And same thing for you as we stand and as we sing. God calling, yet shall